Welcome to the last post, Di Morrissey.
Oh, hi, Greg. It's so lovely to talk to you again.
Well, it's been officially a few years. Of course, we did our first interview a few years back, and it was very successful. But you keep rolling on. You keep writing some amazing books. And how do you do it?
Oh, what else would I do? I couldn't go back to full-time journalism in a sense of, you know, running out and interviewing people and running around the countryside. Though, in a way, I do that once a month now. And, you know, once you're telling stories, you can't really stop. So I don't quite know what I'd do otherwise.
Well,
so this book number 28.
Wow. And the Australian public is very glad for your dedication to the cause, Di.
Oh, well, that's really lovely. You know, I'm on my, like, second, third generation now. I've got grandmothers, you know, grandchildren have inherited their grandmother's books of mine.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Well, you've got quite a history in journalism and reporting, of course, and we'll touch on that in just a moment. But this, before the storm, it really centres on a career woman, Ellie, I think, who quits her job and returns to an idyllic coastal town, which is Storm Harbour. Tell us a bit about that, Di.
I've settled in Victoria in a small country town on the south coast, and her life, oh, that's the lawnmower going past, her life is tipped upside down, so she goes down to visit her grandfather. And I didn't want to have just kind of a, you know, doddery old grandfather. I thought, you know, a wonderful feisty bloke who runs the local newspaper,
the Storm Harbour Chronicle.
Yes, exactly. So you know, as you do, you get involved in the affairs of a small country town in every way. And, you know, it developed into, you know, a rather broad canvas after that. But the core of it has caught everybody's imagination is, of course, this, you know, wonderful little strong and feisty local newspaper.
Mm-hmm. And it's brilliantly centred on that, which brings out, I guess, the importance of there being many storm harbours around Australia and the importance of community.
Very much so, because in the, you know, in the landscape of media that we have now, you know, it's all corporate, and it's being, you know, what we call producing zombie papers that are the same in Newcastle as they are in Fremantle, as they are in Brisbane. And so how does a community get to know exactly what's going on? And I think, you know, a local government, councils, they like it that way, where there's not a lot of scrutiny. So it's there's a lot of a great need for independent, brave little newspapers. And thankfully, they're popping up all over the country.
Well, they are, and that is a good thing, of course, because The Last Post supports independent media, as you well know. And we have stories of the chap down at Narracourt in South Australia. But also, your paper, the Manning Community News, has been kicking a lot of goals since its inception and really embraces the community and has such a good response from people too. Di, tell us a bit about your paper.
Yes, well, it's a monthly free community, you know, newspaper, which I started as the result of moving here from Byron Bay, which had a very strong independent local newspaper called The Echo, originally started by a very extensive wild man who was very brave. When I came down here, the local, first of all, it was Rural Press, and they were nice, they were okay. But then Fairfax took them over, and then they seemed to only print the good news and press releases. So we had a massive campaign down here to stop a huge power company coming in and putting unwanted and unneeded power lines through, you know, our agricultural area. And so, you know, a fellow, Peter Ecott, started a community action group. And after a year or so, we won this massive case. And, you know, Australian Story, the TV program, came up and did a story on the little community group that stopped it. But, you know, that was hardly covered it was really just, you know, barely mentioned in the local press. So we went, oh, I think we need an independent newspaper. Mm-hmm. And everybody looked at me. So I started it. But then I found advertising was very hard to get. I think there was a bit of, you know, there'd been a few, I don't know, a bit of pressure put on some of the businesses. And then they were all sort of sucked up and hoovered up into the giant sales force of the, you know, of the corporate, you know, very rich corporate groups that are the local press. So I've ended up kind of, I support and pay for the paper, and with donations from the public and a few little brave advertisers. Mm. But I was brought up that you give back to the community you live in, and I don't have time to go and volunteer and do other things. So the paper is my, you know, contribution to the community, and it's been very much embraced. And so, you know, I have the odd, you know, the odd whistleblower come out, and people just know... our council is not very good at communicating, and they, you know, people get very frustrated when they don't get an answer, or if they do, it's, you know, obfuscation. Mm. So people come to me.
Yes.
So the paper is really the voice of the community, as it should be.
Yes, indeed, and you've embraced that, and the community's embraced it. I've got your latest edition, and you've got Mungo in there, and you've also got John Hewson. They're in there quite regularly. How did you get hold of Mungo and John?
Oh, well, I know Mungo from Byron Bay. He's an old mate.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of friends, you know, I pull in a few, you know, bits and pieces from friends, you know, or whether it be author friends or, you know, people that have gone into politics. I just wrote to John Hewson because I liked what he was saying. He's kind of transformed himself in his dosage, so to speak.
Yes.
And he speaks a lot of sense. And he just very kindly said, oh, go for it. Yes, by all means, use it. So that's, you know, I hear people, I meet people, and go, that's really interesting what you're doing. That's a great story. Why did you write about that for my paper?
Mm-hmm.
I have this gentleman whose wife opened a little beauty shop in the village, and he works at the big hardware store, where you all know the big Bunnings.
Yes.
But he's very, you know, he's in the gardening section, but he's very interested in health and fitness and beauty. So he writes my beauty column.
Oh, isn't that lovely? it's a new age man. That's wonderful stuff too. And I guess Mungo and John reflect quality journalism, but the community that's come around with the Manning Community News, it underlies the importance of community values. And I guess in some degree there is a healing quality in communal interaction, which I guess is reflected in your book Before the Storm also.
Yes, very much so. To have the support of a community, just a couple, you just need you know, two people to start and get a, you know, group concerned and to be take action, the ball starts rolling. And there's also, you just don't know who's living in your community or their background. You know, the retired dentist actually has an amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stuff like that, it's been very good. I mean, we also do international politics. We do stories all over the country about people from everywhere, in addition to the local stuff. I mean, in a way, you know, like the last post, you encompass a lot of other information, entertainment. It's a good read.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big
paper.
I look forward to receiving my copy. And bless you for that. It's a good read at the end of the day. And I tell you what, we keep getting these things that are intertangled with each other, Di. For instance, I guess we speak of environmental issues and corporate media. And I guess with the corporate media's coverage of, well, or lack of coverage of communal events around Australia, it really takes away an observation of environmental issues maybe that should be addressed.
Oh, very much so, because there's, you know, there's small things going on in pockets of the country unobserved except by locals who are going, why are those trees being cut down?
Mm.
And, you know, things, why is this, you know, being pegged out for development on farm agricultural land? So, you know, the you need the local eyes on the neighbourhood to you know, get activated and ask questions. So that's very, you know, very important.
Yes, you have that journalistic blood in you, Di, bless you. And because, of course, your family history, tell us a bit about that.
Yes, well, I grew up in a family of artists and writers, and my mother was the first commercial television director we had, from being just a housewife and then widowed and had to start all over again because she'd never really worked or trained for anything.
Right.
So that was an inspiration. The story of me having met Dorothea McKellar, the famous poetess, when I was seven, and she told me that all the stories I made up I should put in a book one day. So I was convinced, well, that's what I was going to do from seven, was write novels. But then I discovered you don't leave school and become a novelist.
So
it was my Uncle Jim Revett that said, no, he marched me into Australian Consolidated Press, and I got a cadetship. And I trained along with Ida Buttrose at the same time. Mm. As a cadetship meant, you know, you didn't go from B to C grade unless you measured up.
Mm.
You know, we were taught ethics and integrity and, you know, honesty and all sides of the story. You know, and you really, it was really solid training. Get per person's interest right at the beginning. Don't waffle on.
Mm.
Don't use big, hard words the readers don't know to show how smart you are.
Yep.
Keep it simple.
Yep.
You know, all of these things, which are fabulous is what you need for novel writing.
Yep.
So Uncle Jim was a foreign correspondent at the ABC, and then he started the cadet training program for to get Indigenous cadets into the ABC.
Mm.
People like discovered Stan Grant and Aaron Pedersen and mm-hmm. many others. So that was I tell anyone that wants to write, go and, be a journalist. And it also gives you a nose for a story. So,
yes.
And you can get people to talk. So that's all very helpful. I don't think they didn't have creative writing classes in my day anyway. So
getting people to talk, Di, is opening doors to stories that you develop yourself. I know everything is fodder and everything is possible material for a story. And whether you convert that into poetry or short stories or a news item, but this is the blessing of it all. And I remember my first job was as a copy boy at the Sydney Morning Herald when I was 15. And
I started as a copy girl. Yes.
Oh wow! How wonderful! Yeah, it's incredible. And so forever. I mean, I was always reading newspapers too at an early age, and the absorbing of information becomes something that is part of your blood.
Yes, you become a news junkie. But the other point too is that my paper in a regional area, it's a print, a physical paper. It's up online, but in the country, people like to hold the actual paper. They like to walk down the street, go to the store, and my paper being free is in every cafe, every business, every shop. It's everywhere. So people pick up the paper, have a cup of coffee, and they take it home to finish reading it. And I think now there's a lot more distrust. Everybody is waking up to the problems with social media and where is truth and what is fake. We need to hang on to, there's something truthful and honest. You don't put it in writing on paper with your name on it unless you think you're right.
Yeah, very well said, Di, very well said. And I know that for me, Saturday mornings, just with the weekend paper, the print version with a cup of coffee is very relaxing, whereas looking at a screen, for me at least, is not relaxing.
No, exactly. Oh, no, there's nothing better than curling up with a good book at night and reading the newspapers this morning.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, that's what I did last night too, so that's wonderful. And the environment, what are your words out there for the environment at the moment? We know that we have a lot of issues that, as you say, are getting buried because of lack of coverage. Whether it's the koalas or whether it's the felling of trees, etc. What would be your prescription to the average Australian to keep an eye out for environmental issues?
Well, we need to fight and we need to have a vote in councils and politicians who are honest and don't water down environmental laws behind our backs and double cross us all. So, you know, we need and believe in the science of climate change and water. I mean, what the theft of water out of the Murray-Darling Basin is horrendous. I mean, we're the driest continent on Earth. How can you just let all this fracking drain the Artesian Basin? Oh, don't get me started.
That's all right. We'll have to get together and have a chat, which could go on for hours about that. But thanks very much for talking to The Last Post about your latest, greatest book, Before the Storm, your 28th book. You're a prolific writer. You've got so much energy. You're an inspiration to all Australians.
Oh, thank you very much. And you keep up the good work with The Last Post, Greg.
Thank you for your support, Di.
Thank you.